Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL Dean and today I am up and about. I have gone from 4,000 whatever it is up to 1,054 back off my legendary card call of Bruno Fernandes as captain. Yes, I'm here to talk about it. I've also got some other updates as well. If you want to find me on X, Twitter, Instagram, all those other things, I've now changed my handle so it actually is on point with my brand. So it's FPLD_UNIT. So FPLD unit, much easier to find. Hopefully it makes it a lot easier for everyone to find these things. This is going to be your early thoughts and game week preview. Obviously, there's no deadline for another 2 weeks, so this is going to be a very hypothetical video, but it is covering everything we have learned from game week 29 that you will need ahead of game week 30, but it is a nice time. I've only got this video and probably one other this week before we start ramping up again next week, but without further ado, please smash a like on the video, share it with your friends, and please subscribe if you haven't already. Help me grow the channel. I'm up to 800 subscribers now, I think, as of the last time I checked, and I can't get to 1,000 or above without your support, so without further ado, let's jump into it. So, what better place to start than with how I went? Now, I got 86 points. I did take a -4 and I did 3 transfers in the end. And the 3 transfers were Trent Alexander-Arnold out for Creswell, Alisson Becker out for Areola to fund the Isak to Haaland transfer. And the only reason why I did it is because of the fact that Isak was dropping in price and it was going to affect my selling price by 0.1. And I was like, I might as well put my team value to use, right? I had 108.3 million team value. This is the time to use it. Alisson Becker made me 0.1. Thank you for your service. Trent was going down in price as well. So there was no reason not to do it. And in reality, it just gave me one less benching decision. Ironically, I've actually already moved Creswell out of my team, FYI, for later on in the video. But that's neither here nor there. It was a very good week. Obviously capped off the Saturday reaction stream. Go back and watch it. It's brilliant. I had great fun. Sunday's one was even better. If you want to watch some absolute entertainment, go back and watch the last 10 minutes of that Bruno, and I literally commentate, Dallo, give the ball to Bruno, he's on the top of the box, and now I just lost it because he just scored, and I knew that I was so close to getting inside the top 1,000 teams after that. So, Areola got 3 points. Unfortunately, it was a defensive theme this weekend on Saturday. No one kept a clean sheet on that night. Areola was very close. Got to 90 minutes and had a clean sheet. And thankfully, he got one save point. So 3 points, not too bad. Otherwise, I was going to play with no keeper. So that worked out quite well in the end. So can't complain. Aitnori, again, trolling me as usual. 2 weeks in the team, 2 points back to back. So it is what it is. Robinson was unlucky. I was on 8 points and then had a bonus point taken off him late, which is the reason why I didn't finish inside the top 1,000 teams. But I can't be too mad. I'm 1 point off the top 1,000 as things stand. Robinson's 7 points was amazing. Kirkez's 4 was brilliant as well. He was actually on the bench, so I wasn't too disappointed when Cole Palmer didn't play. For once, I left 0 points on the bench, and it felt good not leaving any points on the bench. And everyone knows the reason why I'm probably not any higher up is because I've had 4 different weeks this season where I've left 20 points plus on my bench. Unfortunately, that's the problem of a higher squad value team. You quite often get the benching decisions wrong. Milinkovic backed up my call as the best defender in the game to buy this week. 11 points. I don't know why people go for Gabriel when this dude is outputting way better numbers than he is. He's got more goals. He's got more clean sheets. He's probably got more. No, he probably doesn't have more bonus, actually, to be honest. But it costs 1.5 million less. Serious conversations have to be had there. In the midfield, Mbeumo, 6 points. Nice little assist off a corner for the fish salmon that was Wissa. Wissa just rose. I don't even know how he got off the ground that high, but he absolutely salmoned that ball into net, and that was fantastic stuff. Cliver was disappointing, as were Bournemouth in general in that game. 2 points from him, and no one else really did anything of note. Bruno Fernandes, though, the star man of the show, 34 points. I'm going to go into a little bit more detail about him a little bit later on, but he has been unbelievably sensational, and I'm so glad that the card told me that Bruno was the correct captaincy choice, because everyone that joined the deadline stream knew that I had the captaincy on Haaland at the start of the stream, and then the card showed up and said otherwise and said Bruno was the pick, and I went with Bruno, and it was definitely right. Wood, unfortunately, was disappointing for all those people that went there. I was never really tempted by the Wood captaincy, especially once I owned Haaland. For me, it was always going to be Bruno if I didn't bring in Haaland, and Wood probably would have been vice-captain, but yeah, it's safe to say that Wood did not show up and that maybe a conversation needs to be had about him. Haaland, on his entry, was okay, that penalty, but he did nothing outside the penalty, but at least he got that with the 7 points, and that was it. 86 points minus four, up to 1,054, so there's not too much to dislike there. Obviously, in the league, I missed out on top scoring by a little bit. I was the second highest scorer in my own league, and I thought I was going to win it until I looked at the stats this morning, and Turkish Delit, Neil's team, this is the second time in about 5 weeks he's top scored. He got 87 points. That's a massive week. He also captained Bruno Fernandes, which seemed to be a recurring theme for all the people that actually did well this week. And Sharkash with me, 2,104 points. I think I've actually got that. No, I've got that right. I'm 24 points behind. I'm into second place in my own league now, so that's kind of cool as well. And let's jump into my notes from game week 29. So, Bruno Fernandes, the star of the show, he backs up his Europa League hat-trick with another 3 returns in the attacking sense. What a man. The legend that is Bruno Fernandes continues to grow. He literally is keeping together this basket case of a club that is Manchester United. He is unbelievably brilliant. And look, I think if you don't have him now, you may have missed the boat, but he's been absolutely sensational if you had him in your team. Chelsea without Palmer and Jackson are just a terrible football team. They offer nothing about those two. And the fact that Palmer played 45 minutes in the Europa Conference League and then couldn't show up against Arsenal after missing Arsenal last season as well, there's some weird stuff going on there. Maybe someone has to look into it. Maybe he just doesn't like playing Arsenal. Maybe he just thinks he's going to get hurt against them. I'm not sure, but it's a bit weird. And obviously, that was the easiest clean sheet I think Arsenal have had all season. Like, there was the most boring game in the second half. Arsenal scored their goal, and that was about it. There was nothing more to write home about, and yeah, it is what it is. Now, Bournemouth have lost their last 3 home games. Should we be concerned? Well, I think the short answer is no. I don't think we should. I think the fixtures are still there. And their assets in general have still been returning outside of Semenyo and Dango have both been disappointing. But Kluivert's still been ticking over quite nicely. And Kerkez continues to excel. If you bought Hodgson instead of Kerkez, you're now probably starting to regret it because Kerkez has racked up a few assists of late. And he's obviously got that goal as well not that long ago. In terms of the Haaland buy, I'm feeling okay about it. Like, game week 30 against Leicester still feels really easy. And we'll get on to wildcarding a bit later on. And I'm actively probably going to wildcard him 30, just an FYI. But I'm a little bit in two minds. Part of me is like, I just take another -4 hit and roll with what I'm doing at the moment, or -8 and just bring my Palace boys for game week 30 in that Southampton fixture, or I wildcard and I don't take any hits. That's the two lines of thinking I'm going in. Maybe I should just toss the card and the card will tell me which one to do. And maybe we'll do that later on in this video. Who knows? Also, just avoid Spurs. They are useless. They're just not a good football team. Again, they just were poor. And I think that the European venture is going to end badly for them as well. Big Ange just doesn't seem to know what he's doing at the moment, I think. And I feel sorry for all the Spurs fans. I don't feel sorry for Liverpool fans, though. Well done, Newcastle. I'm so happy you guys won. As a Man United fan, there's nothing better than seeing Liverpool lose a cup final and then being able to rub it in the day after. So I've been enjoying that for all day. So that's been very nice. Salah goes missing again. Unlike Bruno Fernandes, who always shows up and puts a shift in, Salah, when it comes to finals and big games, sometimes goes missing. And he's gone missing in the Champions League the last 2 weeks, and he's gone missing in the Carabao Cup final. I'm not sure what's going on there. Outside of penalties, Salah actually hasn't done a hell of a lot the last 5 game weeks either. So I'm not saying you sell him, because I'm not selling him, but I'm just saying that the form has definitely tapered off, and I'm not sure why that is, but maybe you can put your own ideas in the comments. Forest defence keeps conceding goals against the basket case clubs in the league that are going back down. I don't know why that is. It's like they just sit there and slack off in the last 10 minutes against these teams and think that the game's over, and then they can see goals. Highly annoying if you had double Forest defence. Not so annoying if you just own Milinkovic, because you still got 11 points out of it, so that's not too bad. Brentford away form also needs to be noted. They are becoming a bit like Fulham. They're becoming a bit like Crystal Palace. They play so much better away from home. I don't know what's happened. It's like they've reversed their form from earlier in the season where they're amazing at home, really bad away, and now they're not very good at home, and they're really good away. So maybe against Newcastle, we shouldn't be stressing too much about whether Mbeumo and Wissa will return. But onto my favorite segment this week. And look, I have to do it because everyone that joined the Deadline Day stream and actually listened and saw the coin toss will know, well, the card toss will know that the card was absolutely on fire this week with some of the goatest calls of the season. So, the first call it did was Alanga versus Hudson-Odoi, and I really liked Alanga, and I said, look, lots of people were asking, I was like, let's just confirm with a card toss, because I don't sit there, I'll give my thoughts, but I won't sit there and say, yeah, just get that a player, because I don't want to sit there and say, I told you to do that, because I didn't. But I said, if the card says it, just do it. So the card was Alanga this side, and Hudson-Odoi this side, and I was like, if it lands on facing that way up, just buy Alanga. If it lands that way up, Hudson-Odoi. So I flipped it and it landed on, guess what? Alanga. Someone came back and actually super chatted me later for that. Thank you very much to Corey. That was very much appreciated. The card thanks you very much. And then obviously, I had Haaland captain. If you want to know, I'm not talking nonsense. You can go back to the start of the stream. You'll see that Haaland is captain and Bruno is vice captain, but I wasn't sold on it at all. So I also said, and I joked around with Rahi, another one of my channel subscribers. He just basically sat there and was like, going, are you going to do the card toss like you did last week? I was like, mate, 100%, because I don't know who I want to captain out of these two players. Part of me really wanted to captain Haaland, but I just wasn't 100% certain on it. When I'm uncertain on things, I just leave it up to chance. So I flipped it again. This side was Bruno. That side was Haaland. It landed that side up. Bruno was the call. So the card, if you followed the card's advice this week, you racked up 50 points. 34 points from Bruno captaincy, 16 points from Alanga. The card got 3 goals and 2 assists from its brilliant 2 calls. I mean, if you could get bonus points for card calls, it would get 6 points. And it racked all this up of only an XGI combined of 0.6, which was made up of 0.19 for Alanga and 0.41 for Bruno Fernandes. That is just unheard of. Big ups to the card. It helped me and a lot of others this week, so I just wanted to give it a proper shout out and have a little bit of fun in today's video. But onto the star, the absolute star of my FPL team at the moment, Rude to Forget United, and it felt bad that Bruno Fernandes did this against Ruud van Nistelrooy, but what a man he is. So if you combine the last 5 games that he's played, well, no, that would be the last 6. So in the Europa League, I don't know what he did in the first leg. I feel like he got the penalty, didn't he? I can't remember what happened in the first leg. We drew it 1-1. Yeah, Bruno Fernandes got that goal, I think. I can't honestly remember. I feel like he did. Was it a penalty? I can't remember. Either way, if you combine the Europa League game with his last 4 games in the Premier League that he just had, he would be on 56 points from the last 5 games. He's entered Phil Foden-esque levels of 5 games, like on a trot. Like, this is unbelievable. This is unheard of. He's now got 46 points from his last 4 weeks, 17 alone this week. And if you captain him this week, that was 34. Even more points he's got, yeah. 3 goals, 4 assists, 10 bonus points, with another 3 of them coming from the weekend, and obviously 1 goal and 2 assists of that number from this weekend against Leicester. And he's done that off an XGI of 1.51. That is unheard of. Like, that is just brilliant, brilliant returns from a brilliant man. He is Manchester United, and I don't think I'm going to sell him now. I was tempted to sell him on wildcard, but I think with that kind of form, he's just delivering against everyone. He's showing up week in, week out for Ruben Amorim and Man United. You've just got to start sitting there and probably consider getting him into your team. Another player that needs to be talked about over the last 4 weeks is Nikola Milinkovic. What a man this has been. This dude has racked up 27 points now in the last 4 weeks, confirming why he is the best defender in the game at the moment. He is in hot form. People sit there talking about Gabriel. You are got to be kidding me that you think that Gabriel's a better player than Nikola Milinkovic. This dude has kept 12 clean sheets for the season. Gabriel's now kept 10 after yesterday's game. I was going to say 9, I just realised it's 10. Milinkovic has actually scored 1 more goal than Gabriel, 2 more clean sheets than Gabriel, and he costs 1.5 million less. I know who I would buy every single day. No defender is worth over $5 million this year. If you're spending over $5 million on a defender, and I've done that a couple of times this year, you're getting ripped off. There's so many defenders, $5 million and below, or just over $5 million, like 5.2 that have risen to, but they started below 5, that are unbelievably good value. that to the point I've got no interest in owning any defender that's probably above that for the rest of the season. So, yes, I'm probably avoiding Arsenal defence for the rest of the year. So, Milinkovic, 27 points the last 4 weeks, 2 goals, 1 assist in this time, 2 clean sheets and 1 bonus point in this time. He's got that off an XGI of 0.58, and the expected goals conceded during these 4 weeks has been 5.32, but most of that came in the Newcastle game, I think at 3.5 or 3.8 from that method. So, look, he's been great. Forrest have been great. And I think there's a lot to love there. And really, if you didn't go for Milinkovic and you skimped out and went for Williams or whatever, you probably should have paid up for the bloke that you knew was going to do well, because Ipswich are no good off set pieces, and that's where Milinkovic does his damage. So the captaincy choice this week. As I said, thank you very much to the card. The card knew. Chris Wood was never someone I was interested in. He only racked up an XGI of 0.17. But I think he was the most captained in terms of effective ownership, in terms of the people that were actually playing the game this week and just didn't have dead teams and didn't have Mo Salah still captain. Mo Salah was actually still the most captain this week, even though he didn't play, which is quite funny. Either people just, there's a lot of dead teams, which is unfortunate, or lots of people just didn't realise he wasn't playing, I suppose. I don't know. But Chris Wood got 4 points. Mo Salah, I think, would have got exactly the same. So there you go, in terms of the result that happened in the Carabao Cup. 0 goals, 0 assists, no good. Haaland was slightly better. He got 1 goal, 0 assists. He had an XGI of 0.98, but most of that was taken up with the actual penalty. Outside of the penalty, he offered very, very little this week at all. 14 points. He obviously was lucky to pick up the one bonus because of the penalty, so that was lucky for him. But Bruno Fernandes, by far and away, the standout option. 2 goals, 1 assist, an XGI of only 0.41, so better than Chris Wood, but obviously less than Haaland. 34 points as your captain. Not much more that has to be said, but I've always back in the man that's informed. Chris Wood hasn't got a goal in the last 4 games, and Haaland's a bit hit and miss, a bit like City, and Bruno Fernandes has just been carrying Man United. So I think that, and on reflection, it should have been an easy choice, but it wasn't. So player comparison. I just want to do this because it's quite handy for a lot of people thinking about Marmoush and Haaland. Player comparison, this is from game week 23 to 29. So for Haaland, he obviously cost 14.8 million. He's got 40 points over this time from an XGI of 3.85. So that's quite a lot, considering he missed one of the games between like game week 23 and 29 when he missed that Liverpool game. Marmoush, 7.3 million, 38 points, only 2 points less of an XGI of just 2. So he's doing much better in terms of converting his chances into points. And obviously, Marmoush started one of those games on the bench. So we'll get on to reasons why I prefer one to the other. They both had 6 bonus points each over this time as well. So there's no splitting the hairs there. So they've scored 4 goals each. Haaland's obviously had an extra assist. So he's had 2 assists. Marmoush has had 1 assist. The XGI per 90 for the season, this is what it is that those numbers are. So it's 0.75 for Haaland for the season. It's actually only 0.6 over this period of time, though. And the expected assist is actually the same, 0.06. I think it's actually slightly more, actually, when I did the math for the last 6 weeks or whatever it is. Marmoush, in comparison, 0.22 expected goals per 90, so it's definitely significantly less still, and 0.17 expected assists per 90, which is significantly more, but it's a small sample size, whereas we've had Haaland for the full season, we've had Marmoush for 6 weeks. What I would say on this, you get for what you pay, really. Marmoush might have some really good weeks, but he is definitely at risk of Pep Roulette. We saw it last week on the bench. There's no guarantee he starts in game week 30. It could well be Phil Foden back in the line. I actually think Phil Foden's a better player as well. And the fact that, I don't know. I don't think Phil Foden and Marmoush can play on the same team. From what I've watched in Man City, the numbers have been effective for both when they've played. So it might be the case that it's one or the other. And Pep Roulette is just it's scary. It's scary to take on. It's not something for me, and I don't really like participating in it too much. So the other call for player comparison in game week 29 was Alanga versus Hudson-Odoi. So for the season, Alanga's actually now got 10 bonus points and Hudson-Odoi 7. But prior to this game week, they both had 7 each. Obviously, there's only 0.1 million difference between the two of them. Alanga obviously got 16 points. Hudson-Odoi got 3 points. An XGI of 0.56 for Alanga in this game compared to 0.29 for Hudson-Odoi. So Alanga actually doubled the XG that Well, no, it kind of makes sense considering he scored 2 goals in this game. But prior to this game, it was 3 goals and 8 assists for Elanga, 5 goals, 3 assists for Hudson-Odoi. So Elanga had actually given more attacking returns. Now it looks even more distant because of the fact that he's racked up these 2 goals here and just absolutely torn a new one against Ipswich. And for the season, though, the XG is actually very similar. So 0.19 for Elanga, 0.11 for Hudson-Odoi. And the expected assist for Elanga is 0.18. And the expected assist for Hudson-Odoi is 0.11. So look, in reality, the numbers are pretty low in general. It was, as I said at the time, I felt like Elanga was better, only because of the fact he played Man United the week after in Game Week 30, and I thought that he'd be out with a point to prove. But at the end of the day, you've got to back the card, and the card said Elanga, so Elanga all day long for me. And yeah, I just thought that was really interesting, the comparison between those two particular players. So I've actually made 2 transfers already, and that is because Cole Palmer is 100% going to drop, and that is going to affect my asking price in terms of selling, and he hasn't been delivering the goods anyway, and there's a high likelihood I will activate my wild card this week. So these moves that I've done, even though it's costing me -4 at the moment, are not going to cost me anything if I activate my wild card. So that's what I've got in mind. So as Ismaili Assar comes in for me, this could always change on wildcard to Eze by the time the deadline rolls around. But it's definitely a move. I've already locked this in because Palmer was dropping in price and I didn't want to lose out on that team value. And obviously Ismaili Assar is someone that I would expect will rise before the end of game week 30. Before game week 30 deadline. And then my other move is to transfer out Creswell, who came in for a game, did nothing, didn't start, sat on the bench, and he's gone to Munoz. Because obviously I freed up some funds. I had exactly zero money left, but now I've got Creswell in. Obviously I had zero at the end of the game week, so that's what that is. I've now got 4.2 or whatever is in there. Creswell to Munoz just feels really good with that Southampton fixture, and the fact that Munoz has been killing my rank, I now can own him with that blank game week out of the way, so I'm quite excited about that. And I think moving forward, it's definitely something that I am going to get a bit more and more excited about. And let's actually have a look. We're going to finish this off by actually looking what I am thinking in terms of my other moves for this game, like if I do wildcard. So as you can see there, 86 points, looking pretty good. Obviously, they're 2,080 for the season now, 1,054. If you want my code so you can actually see what my team looks like, it's 5395196. Obviously up to 1,054, which is very nice as well. But if we go to the transfers, obviously you can see I've already made my transfers because you can see Munoz is in my team. Ismaili Assar is also in my team. What I'm thinking of doing, obviously 4.1 in the bank. Now I'm torn between what I want. I know exactly what I want in the forward line though. So the two players that I really desperately want there are Isak. I want Isak back in. I know I've lost a little bit of team value in terms of buying Isak back at this price, so I am going to be monitoring that moving forward to see if it changes and maybe it's something I can look at. The other one is obviously Mateta. Now, I expect Mateta to be fit. We obviously don't know for 100% sure, but we obviously have the FA Cup beforehand, so we'll see if he plays in that game, and then 100% he'll be in the squad. Then it's a matter of what I want to do with the rest of my team. So 0.5 left in the bank. Obviously, I want to transfer this out because I want to set up my team for a bench boost. So I'm expecting, well, I just really want a goalkeeper that's playing really. And I quite like Pope for the Newcastle fixtures coming up are really nice from a defensive standpoint. All the way through like game week 34 where they will have that fixture. They really only have Chelsea and Arsenal that really give me any concern. So I feel like a Newcastle defensive pairing is actually quite nice for the foreseeable future. Again, Robinson is going to be leaving this draft just because of the fact that I don't really rate him. And this is where I'm a little bit torn between what I want to do. So part of me really wants to go on a Phil Foden pun again, but I'm basing it off nothing and I'm just literally taking on Pep Roulette. So it's highly likely I'm not going to go for Phil Foden, but I really love the idea of him. But in reality, it's probably going to be Jarrod Bowen, which leaves you 4.8 in the bank. And this is probably likely to be Dan Byrne or Livramento that comes in. Now, I'm not sure who I like the most there. It would leave me with 0.4 in the bank. And if I'd done this on Saturday when I was originally thinking about doing it, I would have got Bowen in for 7.5. But I'm not too disheartened. I've still got 0.4 in the bank, still money to play around with. In reality, it's 5 moves plus the Ismaili Assar and Munoz ones I've already done. So it'll be 7 moves, 28. I'm only really changing half my team, but it means that I then can attack what is going to be double game week 32. And it also sets, hopefully, my team up for double game week 33. But this is what I have to look at. So at the moment, this is my line of thinking, but this could easily change, right? Like, I might get rid of Ait Nouri if it looks like Forrest are going to double, and this could easily become Williams. And obviously, after Newcastle play their double, is that could easily become Wood or someone else that's doubling? Obviously, I have no Aston Villa assets, and I've only got one City asset. But at the same time, Pep Roulette's a real thing, that maybe the double up for City is only going to be really a double for Haaland, and a lot of the others will get rotated. We just don't know with Pep, and so it's really hard to pick. And I just can't justify spending up on Guardiola when all these defenders here are so much better value, and they offer pretty much the same thing, and probably more chances of keeping clean sheets, truth be honest, as well. So yeah, that's my line of thinking in terms of what I am hoping to do moving forward. And I just think that there's a lot of room for scope. So I don't think it's wrong to activate your wild card now or make moves. So for example, I'm quite happy taking a -4 and just rolling without Mateta this week and playing Wissa against Newcastle, Chris Wood, obviously against United and Haaland. But if I don't like that, this is the team I'm going to go with. Like Salah stays, I'm putting my team value to maximum use. I just think it's a really good way of doing it as well. So I will be back later in the week with a wildcard draft and an updated chip strategy based on how I'm feeling currently. Other than that, though, there's going to be no videos this week. There's going to be no live video on the weekend either, because obviously there's no football. It's international break. If there's any updates on that, I'll give a roundup, hopefully sometime on the weekend. But yeah, look, let me know how you went in the comments. Was game week 29 a really good game week for you, or was it one of them absolute disaster classes? And yeah, let me go again. How you're going? Are you wildcarding in 30? Are you wildcarding in 31? What are your plans moving forward? I really do want to know. And before you go, if you've made it all the way through to the end of this, please drop a like on the video, share it with your friends, and please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Much love, the D Unit.